foundational tools to develop biblical worldviews. Welcome to Mentoring Matters. With the world culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical doctrine to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining us today here on Mentoring Matters. Janie and I are looking at the sufficiency of Scripture, and we have talked about the Gallup poll that declared only 24% of Christians believe the Bible in totality to use as their final authority to live their lives. And today, Janie and I are going to replay some of what we talked about last week and move forward with some more interesting foundational facts or highlights that will form the basis of the Scriptures being sufficient for our lives. We recently talked about a Gallup poll that declared that only 24% of Christians believed the Bible in totality, and that leaves 76% of believers do not believe the Scriptures to be true.
Well, that's what the Gallup poll has recently reported as being facts. We've not verified it.
Okay.
A lot of Christians believe the Bible is true to a point, but they don't believe it is totally sufficient for their daily living, that it contains the truth, but they believe it lacks sufficient evidence. So many Christians then go looking for additional information to validate the Scriptures, and the Scripture doesn't need validating with outside information.
Okay. So when we talked about the four stages of maturity, the first being a relationship with God, when God's word is how we hear God, how we know God, who God is, then that really kind of hinders us knowing who he is, and it hinders that relationship with him, does it not?
I would agree with you there, because there's small words that can make such a big difference. And so for many Christians, they know about God.
Okay.
But they don't know God.
Okay.
And so you can have information, and again, I'm not the final authority, because the Lord looks at the hearts. So I do believe that some people in church life can hear the word and be convicted and know about God saving them from their sins and dying on the cross. But that is a huge difference from having a individual relationship where you are relying on him and you learn to trust him and be your all in all. And since the Lord is the final judge and juror and deliverer and great shepherd, only he really can look at the heart. We are not going to be able to make a judgment call. But the ending results is, if you only know about God, then your life is going to be very subjective to whatever comes to you. But if you know him intimately and personally, then you will be able to stand the fiery darts of the enemy, and that you will be protected and he will be your refuge. Now, it doesn't mean that the enemy won't try to throw you darts, but that intimate relationship will give you a protection and a comfort and a guidance, because it's coming from a real person. And whether it comes through the Word of God in written form or whether it comes through other ways that he communes with you in prayer, that's going to be your basis of your strength.
But we can't really know God without the Scriptures. Is that not true?
I don't know how you would, because he says he is the Scripture.
Right.
In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And that's John chapter 1.
Correct. So that's why we have been given something that we can really latch on to. There was a time when people would talk about having a deep walk with the Lord and that the scriptures were life to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah says, I hungered and I ate the words. They were life to me.
Right.
And the Lord also talks about them being life to us. And as I have been a student of the Word for many decades, I've understood that when I go to the Word and read it, it actually renews my physical being, my life, my temporal life, not to mention my spiritual and my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something that you become more acquainted with the more you're into the actual study and being a disciple. If you're picking up the Word of God for a 5-minute devotional, you're going to be a long time coming before you're comfortable with really letting the Scripture speak life to you. But that is the goal,
right,
of part of what the Lord wants for us, because it's that life that conforms us unto His Son's image.
And we'll never mature past infancy without the Scriptures.
And the correct application and interpretation. Remember, many people have the scriptures, and then they read them through the grid or their eyes of their experience.
Okay.
Or right. They add something, the scriptures plus.
Okay.
And again, I don't want to be negative on the fact that we can learn from people of old. Somebody asked me the night, who most influenced me in almost 70 years of knowing Christ, what great man? And I said, well, 99% of them are dead, and I never met them personally, but I knew them through their works.
Right.
But I did not use them as the authority for knowing the scriptures. I relied on the Spirit to give life to the scriptures.
Right.
And then they were able to add what we would say color commentary to cause me to think deeper and to meditate. And the Spirit used those men and women to help me really have a solid foundation.
Okay. We talked about the four phases of growing into maturity. And without the scriptures, we will not find any sort of maturity at all because we're not building our relationship. And so there stays a constant babyhood where we're sucking on a bottle.
And we in America have been very fortunate to have excessive resources in this nation that has been based upon the Word of God and founded that way. Now, there are tribes that have to learn of the Lord through, as He has manifested Himself through nature. They don't have the scriptures in their native tongue or their dialect. And so the Lord makes Himself known to them in other ways.
Okay.
But He can also place those principles. He can place the principle of John 3:16 into a tribal heart that has never read the scriptures. So we don't ever want to minimize or limit the total sovereignty of God on how He can draw a person. But
okay.
For those of us today that are wanting to grow, that are wanting to tear down the walls of defeat and despair and discouragement and disappointment, we need to realize that we have been given such abundant blessings and resources and freedom to know Him in His fullness. And when I say that, fullness that He has dictated to us through the scriptures here,
right,
we will know more when we see Him face to face.
So what do we say to people who maybe say, well, how can you believe the Bible? Or what does the Bible's purpose serve?
Okay. All right. That's a very good question. And I would say that the Bible serves a purpose of keeping us grounded. It serves as giving us life because in it is eternal life. And that is because the scripture simply, it's Jesus Christ speaking, God Almighty affirming, and the Holy Spirit applying. So with that in mind, the Bible to me is my cornerstone. Now, I don't worship the book of pages and
right, okay.
But I worship the God who speaks and wrote those words, and they are life. And that's foundational for me for survival. In this day of uncertainty with what we have with this security changes in our life and our nation's culture changing, mm-hmm. It is a solid rock.
Right.
My hope is built mm-hmm. on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And so really, we can go back and say that if we want to mature, if we want to be foundationally solid, then we can go look at 2 Peter 1:3, and it says that as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. All right?
Okay.
So I realize that what I need for this life is something that I can find in the scriptures. The next verse in Peter talks about the various precious promises and being able to claim those promises as we stand in trust and faith of those promises. So basically, the authority of the scriptures is the guarantee that in Christ, man has or woman has all it needs for life and godliness while traveling this 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years.
Well, with all of the media that we have and all of the information overload that we get and things that are going on in our world today, that it's hard to know what is truth.
Well, that's a very good observation. We have been told we have the truth here about difficulties in our nation mm-hmm. and in our health care. And then 3 weeks later, there was new data, there were new facts, there uh-huh. were new information, and there was new circumstance that was put into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have truth that is subject to change, then it could have been correct information at the moment, without it being everlasting truth.
Right.
So where do I go for everlasting truth? Well, I can go to the Word of God that has a history for at least what we understand to be 6,000 years, and there's mysteries of what may have transpired before Genesis 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that the Lord said, I don't really need to give you all that information for your daily living right now.
Right.
But I am giving you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. So we need to establish that truth, to be unchangeable truth, it needs to be what the scriptures talk about. It needs to be eternal. It needs to be immutable, which means it can't change. Truth needs to be final. In other words, there's no greater authority that you can call upon.
Okay.
And then it needs to be supreme. In other words, one truth can't be up by another truth.
Okay.
And then the last point for today is truth is absolute. You must have legitimate truth that is black and white, not subject to opinions, creeds, preferences, etc., etc.
Okay. All right, so basically the Bible is sufficient for our lives. It is necessary for our growth, and it will never change. It's something that we can depend upon, we can stand upon.
That's right, because the truth in the scripture is the person that we're depending upon. It's just right. Not black and white print on a page.
History. It's not just history.
That's right. It is the one who wrote the history, and he says, I change not. And he also says for comfort, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, to the one that may be experiencing fear if they know him and just don't know about him.
Right. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to discuss the great foundational facts of Scripture that will highlight the basis of how we can trust it as our final authority. Stick around, we'll be right back. You're listening to Sharon Hart's Mentoring Matters on KWXC 88.9 FM, Grove, Oklahoma. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth. To hear this program again, or to find resource materials, you can go to SharonHartz.org. That's SHARIN Hearts.org.
Hey, thanks for staying with us. This is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
And Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So scripture is enough and equal to what is required for a person to live life.
Wow. Well, I think that means that we probably need to make the only book that God ever wrote was the Bible.
Right.
Now, you know, we have many popular authors today that are good. They may have written 100 books. But, you know, God Almighty was able to give everything that He wanted to us as we walk here this 70, 80, possibly 90 years in one book that establishes our foundation, establishes who He is, and then He tells us everything that we need to know about living life here. But many people get discouraged because He doesn't tell them everything. And then they get to where they doubt the Word of God. But He does tell us everything we need to know on how to live here if we're looking at the principles.
So why is it that Christians are deciding that the Scriptures aren't enough?
Sharon, that's a very good question. And I'm going to give you a simple, basic answer. I'm sure it can go deeper than this. But the Scriptures call us into accountability.
Ah.
And our culture and our society is saying, no, we want to be our own God. One of the places in the scripture, it says in Judges 21:25, that everybody did what was right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not a declaration of where we are again today, we are cycling again through history, which many people want us to eliminate. Because if we don't have any history, then we can set up our own new history according to the mindset of the enemy rather than the mindset of Christ. A few years ago, people wanted to do away with the blood that is listed in the scriptures because it was too gory and it was disturbing to have to read about the blood being shed on the cross. So there were some versions that just eliminated the blood. And now we have more recently people who are now saying that they need to eliminate the sin out of the Bible.
Oh, great.
All right?
Okay.
Because sin puts us under such heavy guilt and it causes us to have to go back and deal with what the Lord said in the scriptures starting in Genesis. And so best that we just rewrite the Bible. Now, I've also recently found that bookstores no longer are going to sell Bibles because they create controversy.
My.
So now we are not going to sell them because we want to be of one mind. Of course, that one mind is not the mind of God. And so now we're just not going to sell Bibles. Right now, the average person with certain convictions is trying to find the Bible to understand the Bible because their boat is being rocked.
Right.
Their foundation is shook. They're seeing a violence in our nation that has never been witnessed by anybody who is currently living on planet Earth.
Right.
And now if they cannot find any hope, refuge, comfort, stability, foundation, because Bibles are becoming obsolete. And so we're finding great diversity as we hold to the fact that mentoring matters. And what I am thankful for today is that I see every different skin color from very white to very dark having common belief.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a certain person who is not looking at the circumstances of life. They're going back to the foundation of a basic belief system. And that's what I believe we want to hold to in Mentoring Matters. We want to be able to always give people hope and encouragement on a foundation that has at least recorded history of 6,000 years. And that certainly is better than what we've had for the last 60 or 70 years as we have seen our society as a nation erode. So let's just go to some of the tenets that we're talking about, or we can call them highlights, about what the scriptures do proclaim.
Okay.
And the Bible says that it's faith and faith alone that one must have in their life if they're going to have a foundation. We also know that the Bible says that the Word of God is life. And we can go into that more today, right, on exactly how the life is expressed.
Well, you know, in Hebrews 4:12 there, it says that it's living and powerful. And being living and powerful is what we're looking for. I mean, as human beings, we're looking for something that will give us life, something that we can stand on and be assured of. And it's like we're looking in all the wrong places.
Well, and we must have something that's authoritative, and the Bible is authoritative, and now we're seeing our culture trying to tear down everything that is authoritative,
uh-huh,
and set up a new regime that is, again, when every man does what's right in their own eyes. And if you want to go back and read history, you realize that when a nation or a person or a group of people do that, they will go into a bondage,
mm-hmm,
that brings them into a destruction as a society.
Right.
So then we can just pose the question, and who might be the author of where we are going today? But as we talk about the faith and faith being one of the final authorities, the Word of God standing alone as authority, and then that Jesus Christ had everything given to him as the final authority and the final judge, as we proceed forward to make history. All right?
Okay.
And so these three great truths must be accepted if we are going to be able to have a basis for the scriptures being our sufficiency. And if we refute that, whether we're a believer or an unbeliever, whether we want to compromise. Sharon, why don't you just restate the percentages of the latest poll by the Gallup Research Group?
The Gallup poll showed that only 24% of Christians believe that the Bible is sufficient for their lives, that it is without error.
That it has truth, but that it doesn't have all truth.
Well, that's the 76%
that
believe it has truth,
but
it's just not all truth.
Right.
There's only 24% that believe the Bible in totality.
So now you can see where within the body of Christ there can be contentions and divisions, mm-hmm, which I know has been very well defined in the first book of Corinthians. So we know that this, what we see in our nation, can come into our own family.
Right.
And so we have to learn how to contend for the faith that we have. So let's go ahead, and why don't you just read 2 Peter 1:3, because okay, that is a powerful verse.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
All right, so if we do believe there is a God and that he is sovereign and that he has written the scriptures, then he confirms here in 2 Peter 1:3 by Peter, who was inspired by the Lord, that we have everything that we need. So let's go in and make a little bit of a distinction on tenets of what we need without making assumptions from our own reasoning. And the first one I'd like to maybe have you even mention is that the scriptures are adequate. Now, how are they adequate?
Well, that word probably needs a little defining, Janie, because when you say something is adequate, it can have a negative connotation. So to be adequate, as in adequate to do the purpose intended or to meet a need. Not using opinions, earthly logic, creeds, customs, traditions as the final authority in life and living.
So it's not going to tell me whether I need to buy a Buick, a Volkswagen, or a Mercedes. But it is going to help me establish values and judgment on how to spend the money that I have. It's going to give me principles and help me make decisions that will
benefit my life, benefit my family, mm-hmm. Benefit the people that I'm around. So inadequate, we have a current thing for adequate as being, well, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, right.
All right. But adequate means that this particular thing is being used for its intended purpose. And so it is sufficient in the fact that it meets everything that is necessary to make it adequate for why we need it.
Right.
And then, Sharon, I love the word complete. Complete just means it's everything. And even the number 7 in Scripture, when something has a number 7 equation with it, it means it's complete.
Yeah.
It has served its purpose. All right?
Complete means that there's nothing lacking.
There you go. And in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in a bodily form, and in him you have been made complete." So the basic meaning is to fulfill or accomplish. Now we need to understand that we won't know the fullness of our completeness until we see Jesus Christ face to face.
Right.
But to know that we have everything that we need to live life, that we are complete, that there's nothing that's going to come up, that by knowing Jesus Christ, God Almighty, by knowing the Scriptures, that we will come up and say, oh dear, what do I do? What do I do?
Right.
So if we know the Scriptures and we're relying on them and their sufficiency, then we won't be overwhelmed. And you know, Sharon, let me just, a verse just pops into my mind. And because of the turmoil that people are living with in a daily basis, I just want to give you one little scripture from Psalms 94.
Okay.
And this is so simple. But 94:19 says, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." So here is the psalmist talking back to sovereign God and admitting that there's multitude of anxieties of where they're living right now, but the comfort that he could get from knowing what God Almighty had said to him brought comfort to his soul, brought quietness, brought settledness. Maybe somebody's just saying, but you girls aren't talking about what we're up against right now. You don't know the hell that's coming upon us. Well, the Lord knew, and he also knew it in Psalms 94. So the psalmist is saying, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of sin? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have soon settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, I'm going down, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of all my anxieties inside of me, your comfort delights my soul." Mm. Now that should bring some settlement to some hearts to say, well, maybe the word is sufficient.
Right.
I just don't know where to go to find it.
Right.
And you won't find it in a 5-minute devotional once a week or in an hour sermon, going to church once a week. We must become disciples. We must become learners. This must be the most important book we will ever read. And it should be, since it's the only book that God ever wrote.
That's right. And he made sure the Bible was enough to give us all we need for life, that it is adequate to fulfill the purpose of why he wrote it, and it is complete, lacking nothing. And that's why mentoring matters.
Mentoring Matters is a discipleship program of SharonHearts.org. Join a community of Christians seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, with resource materials available for the journey at SharonHearts.org. That's SHARIN Hearts.org.